The FDIC emphasizes in a statement that all Wachovia depositors are fully protected and there's expected to be no cost to the deposit insurance fund. The FDIC says Wachovia did not fail. FDIC Chair Sheila Bair says customers should expect normal business when they go to their bank branches today. Maryland police are temporarily grounding all helicopters and medevac units after a crash that killed four people on Sunday. The medevac chopper went down mysteriously while transporting two car crash victims. Two police crew members, a paramedic and a Maryland teenager, were killed, and an 18-year-old passenger is in critical condition. Police and the National Transportation Safety Board are inspecting state helicopters to make sure all the proper maintenance has been done. There was no flight data recorder and no cockpit voice recorder at the time of the incident. A Massachusetts ballot proposal could get rid of the state's income tax. If voters approve the current ballot proposal, it would slash the income tax in half in its first year and repeal it completely the year after. Governor Deval Patrick called the measure, quote, just a dumb idea. Massachusetts citizens voted to cut the state income tax from 5.75% to 5% in the year 2000, but lawmakers froze the tax at 5.2% in 2002. I'm Greg Moore, and that's news.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And I am live this morning. Apparently, I've been playing there for 6 or 8 hours pre-recorded. But this morning, we're with you at this time live. And we have a special guest. His name is Michael Shaw. Michael, are you there?
I am, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very much for being with us. It's going to be a little unusual because our regularly scheduled breaks, we're not going to have them. So we're just going to have to talk for an hour. But I thought maybe we'd begin the program talking a little bit about what's going on financially in our country. And basically what has happened is the whole financial system, this fiat money system that is doomed to collapse sooner or later with tremendous suffering for our people. Well, they're going to hold it together a little bit longer with a massive infusion of your money. They're going to create $700 billion out of nothing. You see, we don't have any money as a nation. We're having to borrow a couple of billion dollars every day just to pay our debts from other countries. And as long as other countries will help us, we can manage. But so what do you do when you've got to borrow more money and the other countries don't want to put the money in? Well, you just create it out of nothing like they do in Zimbabwe, where today they have 2.5% a year inflation. So that's what we're going to do here. In fact, at a recent hearings, House Banking Committee hearings, Ron Paul is probably the only person in Washington, D.C., and outside of the elite who run our country. Ron Paul understands the monetary system, and he just asked Ben Bernanke, isn't this going to be inflationary? Aren't you just going to create the money? And Ben, without thinking, said, yes, this is inflationary. What inflation is, ladies and gentlemen, is a tax on you. It's a tax on you because it destroys the value of everything you own, whether it be your pension fund, whether it be your bank deposits, your bonds, your CDs, whether it be your annuities, your certainly the insurance policies that you had. Maybe you had an insurance policy. Well, they just took another 10% off the value of that, but they've been decreasing the value of your insurance company for a long time by inflation. And inflation is the cruelest tax of all because, you see, not one person in a million understands what's going on. In fact, Alan Greenspan, in his book, The Age of Turbulence, quotes Lenin as saying, the best way to debauch a nation, to destroy a nation, debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will know. Well, fortunately, we have a lot more than one person in a million listening to our programs and the other programs out there. So at least a small number of our people understand that they're stealing from us. And, of course, Henry Paulson, who was sent by Wall Street to become Secretary of the Treasury to guard Wall Street. And believe me, this is a small group of wicked people who control our country and have dedicated to one world government and a new world order. They're the ones who have made tremendous profits on this, and the last thing they want to see is this house of cards comes down. It's got to come down if there's any hope for us, and it's going to come down. They're already planning on it. They're planning on a global currency because they want a global government. And if you read the publications put out by the Council on Foreign Relations, either the article last year or an article this year written by one of their scholars there, they have fellows there sort of making plans for our future. They're talking about a privately issued gold-backed currency. Who's going to issue it? Why, certainly the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the international financiers who purchased these, these tons and tons and tons of gold being sold by the central banks in preparation for what's going on, because everything long-term planning. And if you saw that interview on 60 Minutes last night with Henry Paulson, he was lying. It was obvious he was lying. He's made $500 million. $500 million he's worth. And he's probably even paid little taxes on that, as the CEO of Goldman Sachs, which is one of the major instruments of these elitists who, of course, worship a different god. Well, with that as a background, let's get to Michael, because Michael, of course, talks about one of their plans, which is this move towards Agenda 21. The agenda for the 21, it's all laid out. They know exactly what they're going to do. And you can get copies of Agenda 21 from Michael, actually. He gets them from the United Nations. And they've been planning this since, going back to 1992 at the Second Earth Summit, when the agenda for the 21st century was laid out as part of sustainable development. Michael, you pick up the story, and we're just going to have to talk because we're not going to get any breaks.
Well, that sounds great. Stan, it seems to me that this financial collapse is just a necessary step in the program of implementing Agenda 21.
Right.
Agenda 21, viewed from one perspective, there's a number of perspectives to view it from, is really the creation of a one-world government. And to have a one-world government, you need a one-world currency. And to have a one-world currency, you got to destroy the dollar.
Right.
And that's the process that you've described. That's the process going on in Washington, D.C. today. Most people still think inflation is a rise in the cost of consumer goods. Well, that's an effect of inflation. Inflation is the increase in the amount of money in circulation. And the more money in circulation, the higher the prices generally flow. People say, the government tells us that prices haven't been inflating much for the last decade. It's averaging around 2%. Well, first, that's not true. They're giving us that information. But secondly, the reason that the price of goods has not inflated to the same level that the currency has been inflated is simply because our goods increasingly have come from offshore and as the product of slave labor. And so when you consider the labor cost that goes into most of the goods that we've been using and you evaluate that, you see that while our money has been inflated, the costs of our goods have not been inflated as much.
Because they brought them in from countries that use essentially slave labor that we are keeping in power. And believe me, we are keeping the Chinese communists in power. Where do you think the money came from for all these magnificent high-rise? Why, from American capitalists, from American insurance companies, from American banks. So we're giving them the money to build the economy that they can use as slave labor, that they can keep those tragic people of China in constant bondage. Go right ahead.
And, of course, our deal has been we've been able to buy our products at a lower price than what we can produce them at because we've, quote, benefited from that slave labor. But that all begins to catch up with you, and eventually the inflation begins to, the price inflation of goods begins to equal the inflation of the currency. And that's why we're headed toward some significant inflation of goods at this point in time, and that's why the dollar is in even weaker shape than we might think it is today as a result of the bailout. And of course, the bailout itself is the creation of money along with the imposition of ultimately much higher taxes to pay for this on the American people.
And of course, I think the important thing is for people to understand this is just the first installment that you're paying on your slavery, because $700 billion is not going to solve the problem. The debt owned by our federal, state, community, and individuals in this country is about $50 trillion. And about at least 10% of that debt is bad. So they're going to have to actually borrow another about $5 trillion. Now, remember, the national debt is about right now about over 9.5 with this new 9.5 trillion with this new loan is going to be up to about 10.2 trillion, and that's just the beginning because they're going to have to borrow all the rest of it. In other words, they're going to eventually have to be, creating that amount of money, and of course it's going to be a debt, and of course it's going to pay interest on it to somebody. But even more than that, of course, what it's going to do, is further dilute the value of people's life savings. So believe me, when they talk about $700 billion, that's just the teaser to get you on board. And then they're going to say, but it's all for you. It's for the masses. It's not for Wall Street. It's because we're concerned about you. We're going to steal part of your money and then more of your money and then more of your money. And once you start paying the blackmailer, because that's what it is, it's the story, if you don't put up the money, why, terrible things are going to happen to you. No, terrible things that happen to Wall Street, to these financiers who created this phony money system. But, yes, we would all go through a difficult time, but at least we could get back to a gold-backed currency, something that was solvent, so we would not, of course, lose the value of our currency and go into a global currency and lose the sovereignty of our nation. For those who control money control the nation. Believe me, the most important man in the United States today is not George Bush. It's Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke. Go ahead.
Well, and I think the broader question for the work we do at Freedom Advocates is how does this tie to the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Program? And I think the answer there is really rather simple. That goes to my first comment today, and that is that as our currency is destroyed, we open the door for this one world government. And that, of course, is the objective of Agenda 21, a program that the Bush family is fully committed to, George Bush was fully committed to, and there's no question that the parties, Democrat and Republican parties, are fully committed to, and as are their candidates for president next. And people say, well, now, wait a minute, that sounds crazy. Americans and our institutions, our political institutions, are not dedicated to the establishment of a one-world government and the destruction of America. And as bizarre as it sounds, if you've not come to understand the nature of Agenda 21 or sustainable development, as bizarre as it sounds to say what I just said, it is absolutely documentedly true. One merely has to begin by looking at the Agenda 21 program, go on the Internet, put in Agenda 21 or United Nations Agenda 21, and you'll find just volumes of information, and you'll find thousands of organizations around the world, including here in the U.S., committed to the implementation of Agenda 21. And I've said on this show before, the mayor of Denver is a big-time component of the Agenda 21 program or sustainable development. And in short, for people who are new to that discussion, Agenda 21 is can be summarized rather simply. It is a land use program with two aspects. I'll come back and describe those in a moment. It is a education program for our youth. The No Child Left Behind is designed to imbue our children with the thought that they are global citizens. It's a one world. And of course, that one world, that global citizenship, comes without the recognition, the political recognition, of the unalienable rights of anybody. Human beings become chattel. The environmental element of Agenda 21 denotes that human beings are no more important than animals and bugs and even inanimate objects. That's why people across this country, under the environmental programs and under the Endangered Species Act limitations, find themselves oftentimes not being able to use their own land because a bug happens to inhabit their land, and the bug has rights superior to the use and enjoyment notions that have always existed in the American political dialogue, and those bugs and their right to live on your land undisturbed are simply greater than the rights that a landowner has to the use of his land.
It sounds so incredible, Michael, and yet it really is true. This is the rationale these people are using because they have a different world view. And, of course, they're using the environmental movement to, of course, create a one-world slave state with a ruling class, who are them, of course, and then the rest of us, common peons, those of us who are allowed to live because they have a massive genocidal program. They talk about population control. They write about population control. They commit us to no-win wars. What is the function of the war? Just to kill off a lot of people, and it's good for the economy, too. Of course, that's why I believe they're going to take us into another war here to try to get our minds off the fact that they're stealing the value of everything we've worked our lives for. And, of course, probably only a few million people will die in this war. At least they, well, maybe they want more to die. They talk about eliminating 90% of the world's population. These are people, and of course you can go up on the internet and look at the membership rolls, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome. You know, go read the websites of the Lucius Trust, and of the Rosicrucians, and of the Theosophists, and understand these people have a different worldview because they worship a different God. But go right ahead, Michael.
So those three elements, again, are first, the elimination of private property comes up through the smart growth programs, which mean the intensification of all human habitation into narrow living zones. These are called smart growth zones. It means you build up, stack and pack people, and pull them out of the rural communities, because the rural communities are destined to be part of the so-called Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project is corridors, over 50% of the United States is designated as a wildland corridor where there are to be no human habitation and no extraction of resources. So you begin to see our policies, the policies of Agenda 21 are working. In Colorado, you've got plenty of wildland areas on the map, and the wildland areas, it explains why nationally we're unable to get our oil out of our own territory. It explains why it is that wolf introductions are being established, and other wild animals, dangerous wild animals, are being reestablished in areas all across the country. It explains why dams are being busted. That goes back to the 90s with Bruce Babbitt. The idea is you create a crisis and you cause a shortage, accelerating the crisis. And our water supply is going to be under increasing difficulty as time moves along because of these kinds of programs. All of these programs that are disturbing and rocking segments of the American population can be directly tied to Agenda 21. And that's why it's so important that every citizen begin to acquaint themselves with the Agenda 21 program. Because if we don't, we're simply going to be robbed, stealed, and bankrolled without understanding the coherent program that sits behind those goals.
And I think one of the important things, and of course it comes from the Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is put out by these people. You could buy a copy of that, certainly at the local store. You have to order it. It comes from Cambridge University. It's called Global Biodiversity Assessment. And I don't know whether Michael has a summary of that through Freedom Advocates, but they talk about the necessity of lowering living standards for everybody. They're talking about your living standards. That's why they're running up the price of electricity, running up the price of water, decreasing the value of your currency. They want to lower your living standards. Why? Well, because as they say, we can't have all these people here on Earth. We've either got to get the number of people on Earth down to a billion or 2 billion, probably a billion. But if we're going to have this many people, why are we going to have to lower their living standards? And they openly talk about that. Do you have some sort of a summary of global biodiversity assessment there?
Well, we don't, but in some of our pamphlets, I'll read a quote from one of our pamphlets, our recent pamphlet called Sustainable Development, the Global to Local Action Plan. And on page 773 of the document you're talking about, the UN's Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, it actually states that, quote, population growth has exceeded the capacity of the biosphere. It is estimated that an agricultural world in which most human beings are peasants should be able to support 5 to 7 billion people. In contrast, the UN says, a reasonable estimate for an industrialized rural society at the present American material standard of living would be 1 billion. Well, that's an 85% reduction in human population.
Yeah. And this is what they need. What they want is, if the average individual lives as a peasant or a serf, and then you will have the ruling elite, who is them. And people say, people would never go along with that. Why do you think, ladies and gentlemen, they just moved a military brigade into Colorado to be used by the Office of Homeland Security in case there's any civil unrest in this country? You can look at it on the Internet. A hardened military brigade from Iraq has been transferred back here to be used for civilian control. They're planning on a military dictatorship. They know the people aren't going to like it, but does it really matter that the people didn't want the bailout? Does it really matter that the people don't want their new programs? No. The elite will use the military and the police and the power, of force to force this on the people of America here as they lower living standards and impoverish our people.
And people, just to punctuate that point a bit more, I mean, it's clear the people do not want this bailout. It's very clear. Up to 95% of the American people say, wait a minute, we're not going to pay for the sins of Wall Street. If they've made a mess and it's going to cause a consequence, let the consequence happen. Don't have us become the guarantors of these business people who then take the upside and leave us with the downside.
And I love the way they said, oh, this isn't for Wall Street. This is for Main Street. This is for the common people. We're here to help. I'm Henry Paulson with $500 million I've made from raping and pillaging, and now I want to help the common people. That's why I'm going to bail out Wall Street. I love these terms, Main Street, Wall Street. There is an elite that run this country, and they want you to bail them out for the mess they've made.
Well, and I think it's deeper than that, too, Stan. I think what they really want is the destruction of the dollar, and
sure.
And we're moving very very rapidly toward that. I think the key, and people say, well, what do we do about that? There's nothing we can do about what Congress is doing. There's nothing we can do about what Wall Street did. And I say, well, we can start by not re-electing incumbents.
Amen to that. And I think that anybody who goes along with this should be voted out of office. Remember, in November. Remember, November is very short. Members of Congress are frightened to death because they know the people are angry. Well, I want you to vent your anger when you go to the polls and find out how they voted, how they really voted. Don't let them vote both ways. One time they'll vote one way and then they'll change their vote. Find out how they voted initially, and if they voted in favor of the bailout for Wall Street and for Henry Paulson and his wealthy elitist, and Henry Paulson's part of the CFR elite complex, why, of course, get him out of office?
Well, that would ring quite a bell around the country. The problem is that unfortunately, in most congressional districts, there are not people running who understand this dynamic or who are willing to expose this dynamic further so that we can rid ourselves of it. But in any event, don't reelect the incumbent. It will put all politicians on notice that there is a desire within the country and an awareness in the country that the entire republic is at grand risk, never a greater risk. I mean, in the middle of World War II, in the middle of the Civil War, in the middle of the Revolutionary War, the American people were not at such risk as we are today. Remember, it was always, I always like to think back to Nikita Khrushchev's statement that he would bury us, philosophy would bury us without firing a shot. And that's what's happening today. Sure, there are plenty of shots being fired around the world, but America is being taken down from within without a shot. We're being taken down by the commitment of the leaders of the Democrat and the Republican parties. And we're now seeing some of the fruit of that mission of theirs as this bailout proceeds, undeterred by the public's adverse reaction to it. And so that's, again, why, you know, maybe with the exception of Ron Paul and a few like him, there is not a congressman that should stay in office that can be assured that whoever is elected president will stay on this program. Don't vote for Obama. Don't vote for McCain. Make yourself heard around the country by voting for a shakeup. And as people begin to recognize that the American people are restless with this march toward the Agenda 21 implementation, people will rise up, run for office, and preserve the American Republic. Without that...
Michael, how can people get in touch with your ministry and get your information? Because Michael has some of the greatest information on sustainable development, on Agenda 21, and the things that are going on. We're fortunate to have Michael right here in Santa Cruz, where I live, and, of course, helping us to get the information out. One of the best sources of information. How can people get in touch with you, your organization, get your material?
Well, the organization is called freedomadvocates.org. You can go to the web. We have lots of information on the nature of sustainable development and its attack upon freedom. We have plenty of pamphlets that are of great use in your neighborhood. It's hard to begin the discussion on Agenda 21. There's still so many people in America with no concept of this. And if you sat down with your next-door neighbor and just began to explain it, many people would just be too shocked to even consider its existence. Well, it's easy enough. Just put Agenda 21 into your search engine, and you'll find millions of references to this program, both in the U.S. and around the world. The key is to get information in a way that it will begin to open people's eyes. And, you know, since we began this organization in the year 2000, we worked diligently to create all kinds of materials that can help you sit down in your neighborhood and cause people that you know to understand this dynamic. It's a series of pamphlets that don't take long to read, but give you a good bird's-eye view of what sustainable development is. And these things have circulated around the country, and really around the world. They need to circulate in your neighborhood. And you can view them online, and you can order them at very discounted prices in bulk, so you can begin to do the job all of us need to be doing, which is working to save America from being destroyed without having a shot having been fired. The destruction is coming daily, and of course this week the headline news is the bailout program, which is an instrument of the destruction of American currency, which is necessary for the implementation of world government under the Agenda 21 program.
And I think your point is so well made. The enemy is not communism, ladies and gentlemen. We've financed communism since its inception. Who do you think drilled the oil wells and the natural gas wells and built the pipelines for the Russians today so that they can have their planes flying, you know, over our country and threatening us and build up their navy so they can threaten us and build more nuclear weapons so they can threaten us? You need to get our material on the best enemy money could buy. It's the DVD we made, interview with Professor Sutton before he died, our pamphlet on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance, the book Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. We've always created an enemy, whether it be Russia or whether it would be, I guess, in the Communist Cuba. You need to see the DVD, the World Revolution, where you'll hear the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution, Ambassador Smith, telling you how we brought Fidel Castro to power. And if you don't believe we've kept him in power, you need to read David Rockefeller's memoirs, and we do carry that book as well, about, you know, how what good friends his daughters are of Fidel Castro, and how Fidel Castro comes up here to meet with
David Rockefeller and how David Rockefeller really has no loyalty to America. He's an internationalist, and some people think he's a part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States. And if that's the charge on page 405, he said, yes, it's true. I'm an internationalist, and I'm a proud internationalist. These people of great wealth have no loyalty to America, but what you must understand, we created communism, we financed communism, we created Fidel Castro, we keep him in power by one means or another, all the time pretending we can think of an enemy. Who do you think finances the Taliban who are killing our boys in Afghanistan today? Why, the Pakistani government does, the Pakistani intelligence, ISI. And who finances them? The Pakistani government. And who finances the Pakistani government? Why, you do. You do just exactly as we financed the Viet Cong during the Vietnam War. The best enemy money could buy. That's, of course, covered in our talks on the Vietnam War, or it's covered in our pamphlet, The Communist Capitalist Alliance. You need to get the information. You need to understand nothing is as it appears to be. The enemy is not in Moscow. The enemy is not hiding in a cave in Pakistan. The enemy is not fighting us in Afghanistan or in Iraq. The enemy is in Wall Street. People who have a different agenda, who, of course, want a world government. That's their goal, their objective, and the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation, and the destruction of our currency. And when you understand that they are intentionally working to destroy our currency through inflation, then you can begin to understand all the things that are going on. And one of the keys is what Michael is talking about, the use of Agenda 21 and sustainable development to transform America from a free to a socialist to a fascist society. Go right ahead, Michael.
You know, Agenda 21 really is the roadmap for this transformation. And at the beginning of the show, Stan, you made mention that Agenda 21 is one of the programs. I'll argue it is the core program. It is the Bible. It is the outline of how this transformation is to occur.
You won't have to argue with me. Go ahead.
Pardon?
You don't have to argue with me. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to stress that, because for the listener needs to understand what it is, what the central organizing principle of this new order is. You say, well, I don't know about a new order. Well, what every American knows is that things aren't right. Every American feels the ominous pressure from the nature and status of our currency. Every American knows that our politics is an abyss today. Every American knows that our stances around the world are causing us a great throwback. Every American knows that our fiscal house is in total disorder. And what reconciles all of these misgivings about where we are today is an understanding of how Agenda 21 is being implemented, how George Bush and Bill Clinton both were just driven right down this road with full understanding and complicity in this mess, and how every American ought to know that Barack Obama and John McCain are committed to the continuation. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, these two guys are different. And I say, no, they're not different in any material aspect for purposes of the implementation of Agenda 21. And what's interesting about Agenda 21 is that it really requires efforts of leftists and efforts of rightists to create this consensus program called sustainable development, which is Agenda 21. And when you begin to understand that it's been carefully orchestrated to require both leftist movements and rightist movements, you begin to understand that you can sit on one side of that spectrum or the other and still be fully on board for the implementation of Agenda 21. You say, well, how can that be? You know, communist is leftist. I say, no, fascist is rightist. In this new order called sustainable development, I like to call it fascist communism. Because what we've got is a communist system of justice being evolved in America today. The idea of a communist system of justice, usually called in law schools social justice, my alma mater, teaches the principles of social justice at the expense of equal justice. Now, if you look at the American experience, the idea that we're all with equal rights, our rights are unalienable, and the Declaration of Independence refers specifically to equal justice as the principle for organizing justice regimes in this country.
You know, I think it's so interesting that you can only have, you know, this system under our Constitution, but these people don't believe in the Constitution. Professor Quigley, on pages 1247 and 1248 of his book, talks about, and remember, Professor Quigley is totally in favor of this. He's Bill Clinton's mentor. He's a leading historian of the last century. He is an elitist. He believes we need a ruling elite. And he says what we need is two political parties essentially the same. And that way the public can go to the polls every 4 years and vote the rascals out, but there's going to be no change in the foreign and domestic policy, which, of course, he has said earlier in the book, will be towards this idea of a one-world government, a globalism. That's the hope for the world. And then he talks about how the real emphasis is not on the elections, it's in the nominating committees, the nominating conventions, where, of course, they nominate the candidates. And, of course, here at the they nominate John McCain as a globalist, given talks for the Council on Foreign Relations, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, regularly attends CFR meetings, and the purpose of the CFR is to bring about a world government. And Barack Obama, they get Barack Obama nominated, and he has written articles for Foreign Affairs magazine, which is the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's attended their meetings, he's not a member, but he picked a former member, Joe Biden, to be his vice president. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the two of them as far as taxation. They're both, I mean, McCain voted against the tax cuts. Now, I believe in tax cuts because you can't increase spending, but McCain also votes for increased spending. You know, he's certainly no different than Barack Obama. Oh, he says Barack Obama is going to increase taxes. They're both going to find ways to increase our taxes. Don't think for 1 minute. They're both dedicated to environmentalism, and they're both dedicated to globalism. Have you noticed that neither one of them talks about immigration, stopping immigration? Have you noticed that? I mean, neither one of them talks about the threat of immigration. Neither one of them talks about English as the official language of our country. They're both are dedicated to one world government and the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States. That's why Obama's wife could say, without blinking an eye, for the first time I'm proud of America. For the first time I'm proud of America. That's because her husband may very well be the next president of the United States. And, of course, these people have an intense hatred of individual freedom. They believe in an all-powerful government under the control of a ruling elite. And they know who the ruling elite is. Believe me, Obama knows who the ruling elite is, and McCain is part of the ruling elite. Birds of a feather.
Well, I think that's exactly right. You know, the dynamic of Agenda 21 is the destruction of the middle class.
Right.
It's made a two-tier system around the world of people. There's the ruling elite, and then there are the 5 to 7 billion peasants, in the words of the United Nations. Well, to get there, you can take one of two trails. You can destroy our currency and destroy our middle class by taxing us into submission, or you can do it by destroying the currency through borrowing. So we've got the Democrat who proposes more taxes, and we've got the Republican who relies on more spending. But either way, the result becomes the same. The dollar is imploded. With it, the middle class is eliminated, and the conditions necessary the establishment of world government are set in place. So we got a big job ahead of us, and that means all of us have a big job ahead of us. You know, the good thing about this bailout program is that it's, I think, beginning to wake up a lot of people. I'm getting information from others, you know, in the freedom movement, who say that in the last week, interest in what various organizations are and have been doing for a long time has just spiked, because this is such a blatant and bold move taken by our president, executive department, and as of today, I think we can blame it on the legislative branch as well. This is such a bold move that is really causing people to shake their heads and say, what kind of system are we operating where some people work for massive profits doing foolish things, and when they bomb, they turn to us, working Americans, and say, pay our losses. Now, if anyone can't understand how that will work to destroy our currency and destroy everything we have and set us up for world government without a shot having been fired in this country, then you're not being realistic with yourself. And if you're not realistic by yourself, with yourself, you're going to find yourself a victim. And that's what we want to avoid. That's why getting information out about Agenda 21, about the plan to, which is the plan to abolish private property, it is the plan to create a global governance mentality in our youth. I don't know, it was Rasmussen or one of the big pollsters recently said that young people coming out of high school and coming out of college now, in the majority, identify themselves with the ideals of global governance. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know this. It means the educational system is working the way they want it to work.
Right, it sure is, because, of course, they don't believe in America anymore because they don't understand America. They don't understand freedom. They do not understand our Constitution. They don't understand God. And, of course, once you could take God out of a nation, out of the minds of our youth, why, of course, they will look for a man's solution to the problem. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a world without war, if we had a world where everybody would be prosperous, everybody could enjoy the luxury of living as we do? It would be wonderful, ladies and gentlemen, but it doesn't work without God. That's why they took God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because without God, of course, man will turn to the state to solve a better society. All we have to do is vote some good man into government, and then they're going to make matters better. No, our founding fathers didn't believe government could make matters better. They believed you had to restrict the power of government. They believe that government governs best, that governs the least. Restrict the power of government, limit government, and you can have liberty. Of course, increase the power of government, and you will have tyranny. And that's what the elite want. They're the force behind communism and socialism. It's the Henry Paulsons of this world, with their hundreds of millions of dollars, a $500 million he's worth. And he tells us he's so concerned about the common man.
Well, increasingly also, I know that Vice President Cheney holds his capital in the form of euros. He must know something the rest of us haven't been told.
I'm sure he does. You know, Dick Cheney is, of course, the man who runs George Bush. Don't believe that George Bush makes any of the decisions himself. Dick Cheney's always there with him. In fact, if you watch Saturday Night Live, you'll learn a lot more about what really goes on in Washington, D.C., than by watching the evening news. At least there on Saturday Night Live, they let you know that Dick Cheney's the real force behind what's going on, not George W. Bush.
Well, and people may think that statement you just made is overreaching, and I want to give people a little information that helps make that statement digestible. The nature of our money system for a long time, nearly a century now, has been such that the globalist bankers who create money out of thin air and then receive interest forever on that issued money. All money now is in the form of debt. $100 bill comes out of the U.S. Treasury, and interest on that money is paid from the time it's issued until the time it's extinguished to globalist bankers. And with that money, in this country, 100 years worth, in England, 350 years worth, the interest that accumulates on the issuance of that money in the hands of globalist bankers is used to buy up everything, from the media to the political parties to the, to academic institutions and on. The money for those folks is limitless. It was Rothschild who said, let me make the money, and I care not who makes the laws. Now, when he says making money, he's not talking about earning money. He's talking about making it out of thin air. and charging the world interest for that service. So the source of the problem is the concentration of capital in the hands of very few, in the hands of those who are at the core of the instrumentation necessary to create a one-world government with a human population of, say, 1 billion people, where everyone is working toward the greater order as dictated by the new god of the world, the globalist bankers. Now, to say this 5 years ago even was a more difficult sell to the American people. Today, after 9/11, and this week after the bailout program, and so much that has intervened in the interim, the massive fires that are a result of the environmental programs tied into the Agenda 21 program, and on, we can begin to document the evidence of this maniacal plan that is outlined on the web called Agenda 21. It's why it's got to be understood from 10 years old to 95 years old. People have got to know what it is. They've got to demand that their elected officials, remember, Agenda 21 is a global to local program. The real work for Agenda 21 is done by your city councils and your county supervisors. And they'll always plead ignorance. And some of them are ignorant. But those who are ignorant about Agenda 21 are the ones most likely to be implementing it, because they get trained up when they're elected on the process of implementing Agenda 21. Well, it might be by a different name, but they're all implementing it. If they don't acknowledge to you in public forums their understanding of Agenda 21, they need to be removed from office. And if they understand Agenda 21, they've got to take a firm footing against it. Well, to do that, we'll put them out of sync with their political parties and their political buddies. But if we don't have politicians who stand that way, we are all going to go down. And the time is getting short.
And, of course, they put out tremendous amounts of money to elect people who will go along with their agenda. I mean, who's putting up the hundreds of millions of dollars for Obama? He raised $200 million here, a month or so ago, and McCain wasn't too far behind. Who's putting up all the money? Why, the people who want to use them to push the one world government. Who puts up the money for many of your school board elections if you're having real conservatives or Christians running for the school board? And who opposes them puts up hundreds of thousands of dollars for a school board election, or for, many times, for your board of supervisors or others, put up big bucks to make sure that their men, people who go along with their agenda, will be elected. And this is how the game is really played. Go right ahead.
Well, it was in the early part of the 20th century when George Bernard Shaw, one of the early proponents of this globalist system, said, "We will crawl like a turtle until we see the finish line. And when we do, we will sprint like a hare." And I'll contend that they're out in the open today. They are sprinting across the field to cover, and the cover will be the formal establishment of world government. We are not that far away. They are obvious in their methodology today. The bailout is a perfect example of this. If we don't open our eyes and connect the dots and realize what this mad rush to a finish line is all about, we will be subdued. This is the perfect time for Americans to take note of what's going. I don't care if you're a liberal or a Democrat, liberal Democrat or a conservative Republican, we're all in this broth together. The importance now is to become an American, to recognize the problem that we face, and then do something about it. And I think the perfect way for somebody to get up to speed is to go to our website, freedomadvocates.org, begin the study. We'll send you to a lot of other places. Begin the study. If you're a teacher, you got a high calling today, because the youth are not being trained in the ideals of unalienable rights.
And once again, why don't we get your telephone number out there so people can call you if they'd like to get your information?
Well, our phone number is 831-684-2232.
One more time.
831-684-2232.
Well, our guest today has been Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, and a great organization, great material. Get their information on sustainable development. Get their information on Agenda 21. Understand what is going on in the world is not an accident. It is planned. And the reason you don't know about it is because they've used the money that they've gotten, they've made out of nothing, to buy up the media, which is why 90 to 95% of the media, you know, is controlled by five mega corporations, major media, controlled by five mega corporations that largely control what the American people read, hear, and see. And that's why stations like this are so vitally important. And programs like this are so vitally important. Places that you can get the truth that you're not going to get from the controlled media. Anyway, God bless you, Michael. Thanks for everything you do, and we've got to get together for lunch one of these days.
I'll look forward to that. Thank you for what you do, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Michael Shaw. He's certainly one of the best informed people we have on the face of this planet, and I'm just fortunate to have him here in Santa Cruz working with us and helping us to get the word out. And then, of course, we want to remind you we're having an all-day seminar. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay, and I know it's a long way away from where you're living, but believe me, you need to have all the information you can get at this time if you hope to survive. We're having Patrick Wood there. Patrick worked with Professor Sutton before he passed away, wrote extensively on the Trilateral Commission. Now he's retired. He has an organization, August Review, and he's studying finances, and he'll be talking about what's happening financially and what you're going to have to do to survive. We're going to have Dr. Russ Blaylock there talking about health issues. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, most of what you think you know about health really isn't true. They're poisoning people with statin drugs. There is no evidence, not one study that shows that women have benefited from statin drugs. And yet they're giving to women all across our country. And in fact, as far as men are concerned, they tell us there's a 30%, increase in longevity. You know, if you take Longevinex, isn't that Longevinex, longevity? But of course, if you look in the fine print, it says that the difference really is, if 100 people take the drug and only two will die. If 100 people don't take the drug, if 100 people don't take the drug, three will die. If 100 people take the drug, two will die. The difference between 33 and two is 30%, and that's how they come up with the figure. But, of course, the figure has nothing to do with cholesterol. It's the anti-inflammatory effect of these statin drugs, which, of course, are carcinogenic. Why do you think more people are dying of cancer all the time? Because they're giving us carcinogens, and the doctor doesn't know. You need, of course, to get our material on statin drugs. We have a four-tape set. We have a book on statin drugs. And a lot of this information comes from Dr. Blaylock, who will be at our conference. We're having, of course, Joanna Michelson, who was a medium. And, of course, she was in touch with the beings from the other dimension, the supernatural dimension, which is there. So Michael Shaw is going to be talking. Michael Shaw is our guest today. We hope some of you can come. It's an all-day seminar. Going to start. The doors will open at 8. We'll be going until about 5:30 in the evening. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to need reservations. Hope you can make it, and you'll be supporting our ministry, but I think you'll learn a lot. Everybody always has a good time, and at the end of the day, everybody's sorry that the meeting has come to an end. So that's the annual